I was thinking of putting eternity as a long time, but it's more than a long time.
Now, there's no end to eternity. Eternity goes on forever and ever and ever, and there is no end to it. And so it's important when we come to the Bible to understand how are we made? And it's a lifetime question from very, very old. And it was asked by a man called Job. And you'll find the scripture here just behind you in Job chapter 14. He asked a question. If a man shall die, shall he live again? Now, the one thing he was not talking about was reincarnation. Because Job had discovered something that few of us ever consider. And he goes on to say, when your spirit leaves your body, where does it go? When your spirit leaves your body, where does it go? Now, I want to give another couple of scriptures just to put things into context for us this morning. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So I've covered a few verses of scripture. What did he cover? Job's question, when my spirit leaves my body, where does it go? It talks about the soul, and then it talks about the body. Now, that last verse I spoke to you about, Ecclesiastes. The spirit returns to God, but the body goes to the dust. Now, when we come to the crucifixion, and we look at Luke 12, 20, verse 23, verse 46. And this is Jesus on the cross. And he said, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in Calvary, and we know the Bible tells us that the Son of God became sin for us. He took upon himself our punishment, our sin, our iniquity, our shame, our guilt. It was all laid upon Jesus. And the Bible said he became sin who knew no sin. But look what it says here. When he was on the cross, he cried with a loud voice. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And that's what Ecclesiastes says. The spirit goes back to God. The body goes to flesh. But notice what the scripture says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 27. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 31, it says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And then it goes on to say, seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So what happened in the crucifixion? Jesus commended his spirit unto his Father, but the Bible says his soul went down into hell. And we know when he went down into hell, he preached to the spirits in hell, and he preached to everybody in hell. So what these scriptures demonstrate to us, that we are beings that are made up of more than one constituent part. We are made up of this body that we walk about in. And the Bible tells us about this body, from the dust it was created, and to the dust it will return. And if you actually pay very close attention to the scriptures, It doesn't mean that the dust that you see in the top of the ground, that God came along and scooped up and then made man. The Bible said he went into the very depths of the earth to get that dust to create man. And the Bible tells us that this body that we have is a body of clay, which returns to dust. But what does it do? It houses our spirit and it houses our soul. And so when we come and we look at Job, and he said, if a man shall die, shall he live again? Well, Jesus Christ said, you're an eternal being. Jesus Christ says, you are an eternal being and that you live forever. But he said, you have a body and you have a soul and you have a spirit. And of course, and what Job was asking was, when my spirit leaves my body, where is it? Where does it go? And it's a good question to ask. Your spirit leaves your body, where does it go? But when your soul leaves your body, where does it go? See, the Bible tells us to be complete that you need a body, that you need a soul, and you need a spirit. And this is very important. And I want to come on to that in a few minutes. But I also want to go to Proverbs 15:24. And Proverbs 15:24 says, the way of life is above to the wise. Now here comes a question today. Are you wise? Are you wise? Because the Bible says, the way of life is above to the wise. Now when Jesus came, what did he say? I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus, when he came, he said, I have come to deal with a problem that you have in your nature. And it's called sin, it's called corruption, it's called iniquity, and it keeps you back from the living God. So the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. And see, when we read about Jesus, when his crucifixion on the cross, his soul went down into the depths of hell. And what the Bible tells us about hell is in Isaiah 5, chapter 14, verse 14. It tells us that hell was never made for man, but hell was made for the fallen angels and for the demons. And the Bible says, due to man's corruption and man's sin, hell hath enlarged herself. And so this is really important because in the Gospels, John is very clear to tell you how to have our sins forgiven and how to be right with God and how to avoid that place which was created for the devil and his angels. And the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. Now back to the cross. On the cross was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He was the creator of all of what we see on earth and in heaven. The very beginning of the book of Job says, and the Word, because that's what Jesus was called in eternity. He was called the Word. And the Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So on the cross, we have the Son of God being crucified for us. And the Bible tells us about the love of God because the psalmist says in Psalm 86:13, for great is thy mercy toward me. Great is your mercy toward me. I never deserved what you have done for me, but your mercy toward me was great. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. You have delivered me. And see, that's what Jesus has come to do. He has come to deliver us. Yeah. He has come to deliver us from a place where there is torment forever. Mm-hmm. Not designed for man, but designed for the demons, designed for the devil, designed for sin, designed for all those who have rebelled against the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and when Jesus lived. He spoke on this subject more than any other subject. In fact, there's a verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 24, that Jesus quoted in one shape or form more than any other verse in Scripture. And that verse says, "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh." I think it's about 19 times alone in Matthew's Gospel he quotes some similar. He quotes it in Mark's Gospel, he quotes it in Luke's and John. So he quotes this verse because Jesus has come to redeem us from destruction. And Jesus has come and he's wanting to know and let you know that you are made of a body, that you have a spirit and you have a soul. But he wants to save you completely, to give you a new body, save your spirit's going back to God, but he wants you to save your soul so that you will be complete. Now this is important. Because two weeks ago, I think it was, I was speaking on the sons of God. And I was giving you definitions of the different sons of God you find in Scripture. I gave you a definition from 1 John chapter 3, where it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." So that we have been brought into that place with right relationship with God. But the Bible also has a classification of angels who were sons of God, who were there when the foundations of the earth were made and laid, and we find that in Job 38. But we also find in Scripture there was some angels and some of these sons of God who rebelled with Satan and believed the lies of Satan, just the same as in the garden, Adam and Eve believed the lies of Satan. And so this number of sons of God, the Bible tells us in Genesis that they left their first habitation. They left their first habitation and they mingled with the daughters of men. And that's why we get a race of giants. And if anybody has ever been paying any attention, just even last year, one of the guys who does a lot of work, Timothy Alberino, and some other of his colleagues, they managed to get an elongated head from South America. And they put it into different labs from different people to test them. And they all came back saying, "This is a different species from man." And so what happened in the Genesis 6 was these angels mixed with the daughters of men and produced giants. We know David slew Goliath, who was a giant. But the Bible also tells us and gives the implications that these entities mix with other entities to produce hybrids. And you get lots of documentation for that if you go to the right places. But these hybrids, when they died, their spirits were left. They have nowhere place to go. And so when Jesus comes, he comes into contact with them. And they cry out to him and they say, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" Because they know the judgment is going to come upon them. And those these demons, they were actually spirits and they knew the judgment was coming. And see, the judgment is in the Scriptures for those who rebelled against God. But the Bible says God's great love for us, God's great compassion for us. See, the Bible says God never sent his son to die for any of these fallen angels, these sons of God. He never sent his son to die for any of these demons. The Bible says God sent his son to die for you and me. He sent his son to die for humanity. And so when Jesus comes, that's why he speaks about the torment is coming, because he is wanting us to know this is a place not designed for you and I have come to rescue you. Now, when we go to the Scriptures, we can go to Luke chapter 16. Because in the book of Luke, Jesus gave us an insight into what happens when you die. And the Bible tells us, starting from Luke 16, 22 down to 24, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And so Jesus gave this story about two people who died, a rich man and a poor man called Lazarus. And he talked about the way that the rich man treated Lazarus, where he ended up, and where Lazarus ended up. And Jesus talked about these places about a big chasm in between. And the Bible goes on to say that the rich man and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. So what is hell? Well, the Bible describes hell in lots of places, in different ways. It describes it as a prison. It describes it as a place where you have feelings, you have memory. It describes it as a place where you have torment. It describes it as a place where you're held in chains and bondage. But you see, Jesus came to deal with that sin and iniquity, and he's come to rescue us. And the Bible is very clear about what happens when we pass from this life into eternity. Now, the Bible also talks about the beggar. He went to Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was a place in hell, because in hell was into three different compartments. In hell there was Abraham's bosom, and people were there from, because remember the Old Testament saints never received salvation. In the Old Testament, you know, nobody had their sins taken away. So they had to wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And the Bible tells us that in Hebrews 10:4, it was not possible that the blood of goats and bulls should take away sins. And that is why it needed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Son of God, to take away sins. And the Bible also tells us that when Jesus went into hell, he preached there in hell. And he ministered to people, but he also preached to these people in Abraham's bosom. And he said, folks, it is done, it is complete, you're coming out with me. And the Bible tells us when Jesus rose from the dead, rose in Abraham's bosom, another name for it was called paradise, that they arose from that place and they came out of that place. Glory. And the Bible tells us other things. It says some of these people came out, they actually walked through the streets of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So Jesus went down and he rescued them by the power of his blood. They had all the animals sacrificed in the Old Testament, but they couldn't take away. They could only cover things, but they could not take away sin. But Jesus' blood is the blood of God, and he takes away sin. Now, this place, the Bible talks about hell, but also tells us that there's other compartments there. The Bible tells us that in this place, the Greeks... In the Greek one, a lot of your Bibles, you'll hear the name Hades, but that's hell. It's just a Greek word. But in English, it's hell. And it's a place where the rich man is. The Bible, and Abraham's bosom was another compartment. And there's a third compartment, because these angels that left the first estate in Genesis chapter 6, Peter tells us that they are in hell, but they're in a compartment of hell which is much lower down, and under all the place, in a place called Tartarus. So the Word of God tells us what way we have been made. The Word of God tells us what has happened to God's creation. The Word of God tells us how sin and rebellion has come in. The Word of God tells us what happens to you when you die. Your body goes to the dust. The spirit goes to God, but your soul, you have responsibility. Is it going to go to be in the presence of God, or is it going into a lost eternity? And see, Jesus made it plain so that none of us would be in ignorance. And he stressed it through his life and then his ministry time and time and time again, because he doesn't want any of us suffering such consequences. Now, the scripture says about God, I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. So God is telling us straight, I am giving you the truth. I am telling you how you have been made. I am telling you I'm the one that gave you the breath to live and to move and have your being. And I'm telling you what happens when you die. And so he comes to warn us, and he comes to lay down his life for us. And this is a great thing about the gospel, because the Bible tells us we don't deserve it. But because of God's love for us, Jesus has come to lay down his life and to give his life so that we might, the Bible calls it being born again. And the reason why it's called born again is because when we're born naturally, we're born in the flesh. But the Bible tells us God is a spirit, and that they that worship him might have to worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we get born again, it's our spirit becoming alive to God and then communion with God. And so God has come in the form of Jesus Christ to deal with that which we cannot deal with ourselves. And so Job asks the question, if a man shall die, shall he live again? And what do we find the scripture saying? Yes. They'll live again, but they'll live again in two different ways. They'll live again either in the presence of God with a new body, their soul and spirit together, complete, or they'll be like these hybrids where the spirit just goes where the incomplete, the body to the dust, the soul to hell, that end to judgment. But you see, God is not wanting that for you today. He has come because eternity is not just a long time. Eternity is endless. Think of that rich man in the story of Lazarus. 2,000 years ago, Jesus told the story. Today, that man will be in the same condition, in the same place. God is not wanting you to go to a place he has prepared for the devil and his angels. God wants you to turn from your sin, turn from your wickedness, turn from your unbelief. And God says, come to the cross. See, Jesus made the great, he never made it difficult. He said, come to me. Come. Come. And see, when we come to Jesus, what we find is that the love of God overwhelms our soul. When we come to Jesus, we find that his blood purchases us and cleanses us from all sin, all iniquity, all that which is corrupt in our nature. Jesus Christ comes with his blood to cleanse and to heal and to restore and to make all things new. He has come to redeem us. He has come to save us. He has come, and his promise to us is life everlasting. His promise to us is to be in his presence with the holy angels. His promise to us is not to be in the place designed for Satan and his fallen angels. He has given his life for us. And he is a God who is holy. See, when Jesus walked through the streets of Jerusalem and the shores of Nazareth and Galilee, the demons cried out, because the holiness of God burned light into them. They cannot stand the holiness of God. And when we are in our sin, none of us can stand before God. We would scream, we would literally scream out and cry out in agony, because his holiness would penetrate right into our very being. But the good news about the gospel is that when we come to Christ, the Bible says that Jesus clothes us with his righteousness. Mm-hmm. We have an old chorus, I am covered over by the robes of righteousness that you give me.
Yes.
And so when we come to Christ, we get covered over with these robes of righteousness. And the Bible says when the Father looks at us, he doesn't see the sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this is the lens that God has gone to redeem us. This is the lens that God has gone to rescue us from what lies ahead. And we live, and we live one breath at a time. You can't plan for the years ahead, because one breath at a time, one breath at a time, the breath goes, you're in eternity. But God commands his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is the great news of the gospel. And so that's why the Bible makes it plain that there is a life after death, there is all the different places where people can end up. God does not want you to be ignorant. He wants you to know the truth, because the scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Mm-hmm. What does the truth do? It brings you into the correct relationship with God. It brings you into that proper place where you will discover the Saviour. And you will discover the things that he speaks about in his word. Now, when it comes to Jesus when he ministered, I mentioned earlier on, when he came to these spirits, they cried out, have you come to torment us before our time? You know, the first time I ever heard demons screeching out was when I was a teenager. The demons are there, and when the holiness and the presence of God comes into place, they scream. They really scream. And they can be powerful. But see, the blood of Jesus Christ was not shed for them. They know their fate, but your fate and your destiny can be found in Jesus Christ and in the Lord of glory and with his holy angels.
Yes.
And know the peace of God. See, you can know the peace of God. You can know the love of God. You can know that you are loved of heaven today. So why don't you just take time to stop and think? Ask the question that Job had, when I die, shall I live again? What happens to my spirit when it leaves my body? What happens to my soul? This is a time to stop and get to terms and grips with what matters for your eternity. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. We don't have tomorrow guaranteed, but we have this moment in time. And so I would invite you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then this is the time to start to lift up his name and to worship him and declare his goodness. And if you do not know the Lord as your Saviour, this is the time to stop and to come to the cross. This is the time to bow your knee before the Lord of glory. This is the time to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he has already been on this earth. He already knows what you go through, because he took a body like ours, but he laid his life down for you and for me. And so I'm just going to pray this prayer, and I encourage you to open your heart, open your mind, because eternity is not just a long time. Eternity is endless. But the gift of God is eternal life. So let's pray this prayer with me if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge I need a Saviour. I acknowledge that my sin has got to be dealt with. And I ask today that Jesus, that you will come into my heart, into my life, that my spirit might come alive to the Holy Spirit today, that the blood of Jesus will wash me, will cleanse me, and purify me from all sin and all iniquity, and that you will make me a child of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just bless you this morning. Trust that this word is helpful for you, so that you will no longer be in ignorance of what happens when we come to the point of death. But you will also know the great length that God has went through his son Jesus to redeem you. God bless you.
Thanks, God.